Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Today's scripture reading is the story of Martha and Mary, as you have already heard. Please look at your digital painting on the cover of your bulletin or the larger one that is here by the altar. The artist is Lauren Wright Pittman, who is the director of branding for our Sanctified Arts materials for this season of Lent. Martha and Mary were sisters, and Lazarus was their brother. They lived in the village of Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Scholars believe that all three were intimate friends of Jesus, who showed a great affection for them and often visited in their home with his disciples. The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now take another look at the painting. The artist shows Martha standing in a blue dress with open hands, which shows her vital ministry of worship and service. Mary is seated in a yellow dress with mustard seeds and flowers as she eagerly reaches toward Jesus. This indicates Mary's faithfulness. Jesus is shown in green, the combination of blue and yellow. This means that Jesus embodies both the integration of faith and works.
Thank you, Sylvia, for reading and for leading us in that way. And thanks to all who've contributed to worship this morning. It's been good to be with you, and it is a gift to be with you. I'm Chris. I'm with Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. I've been in and out of the Triangle for many years, and I've known of Greystone Baptist Church through your reputation and through colleagues for so long, and it's a gift to be with you this morning. You don't get a CBF commercial because you don't need one. I've been asked to give a sermon, not a commercial. But I will suggest simply this. The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship is made up of individuals and congregations who contribute to our shared life. And so thank you for the role you play in contributing to that shared life. It is truly a gift to be able to live out a call with congregations like yours because of the support that you offer in financial and emotional and personal and in all manner of ways. So thank you. So now on to the sermon, and I'm going to begin with something that you should laugh at, and I'm going to tell you that you should laugh at it first so that you know it's a joke, sort of. I recently left a cult, and the cult was called CrossFit. I left because I hurt my shoulder mountain biking, and so paying the money to be a member of the gym was just not really something that I was going to do. And I start with CrossFit, and I'm going to get to Mary and Martha in a second, I promise. But I start with CrossFit because I've learned a few things about myself in life, which is that, like, I love to eat great food, And I need to work out to burn off some of that great food, as well as to like help my mental health and just stay stable and all that kind of stuff. So for many, many years, whether it's a run or a bike ride or a walk or mowing the grass, like I stay active. My current activity cult is Peloton. We can have an intervention about that later. But one Thursday evening, my wife and I were in downtown Oxford where we were living after I had left being pastor of Oxford Baptist in order to serve on the staff of Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And she saw this bumper sticker on a car that said Strong Ox CrossFit. And she said, Strong Ox, that's a great name for a gym in Oxford, North Carolina, isn't it? I agreed. And so I said, I've always kind of wondered about it. And she said, you should give it a try. And so 2 weeks later, I enrolled in the cult because I tried to work out. I loved it, and it was great. And it was kind of an amazing thing. And it's an interesting example to think about faith and works in the context of a CrossFit conversation, because one of the real critiques that hurt as a pastor that folks would talk about with CrossFit is folks would say, CrossFit is my church, which I really bristled against. And I still do hold it at a distance, but what CrossFit always did well was you come for the workout and you stay for the relationships. You come for the work and you stay for the discipleship, the faith part. I think there's something to learn there. Because the genius of CrossFit is that no matter who you are or what your fitness level, you can walk into a gym and in the hour that you're there, get a pretty good workout with a class. The folks I would take classes with were in many cases not like me at all. Michelle was a former college rugby player. Steven was a dad who was about 10 years older than me and who could do pull-ups all day long. Mary was a young, pregnant medical resident. Rafa was a lean guy in his 30s who lifted heavy weights. Rebecca was a mother of two elementary school kids. And at the gym I was a part of in the RTP area, we'd walk in at 6 a.m. and walk out at 7, all having got a good workout that fit our needs, even though none of us had really done the exact, perfectly same thing. Some of us did lots of pull-ups. Other folks jumped their pull-ups. Some lifted heavy weights. Others did light weights. But every day we showed up, we invested, and we took what was typically seen in like the athletic world as a competition, and it got turned into a collaborative exercise of shared work. CrossFit strives to help everyone draw together and thrive together. And what I've realized through my kind of 3 years in that world of exercise was that if they can figure out how to help navigate relationships without the cutthroat nature of competition, then I think the church, and I think Mary and Martha, can probably do the same. Actually, I think we must. You see, when we think about this Mary and Martha story, it's often characterized as competition or at least an either or. Following last week's debate with the lawyers and the parable of the Good Samaritan, we're really actually led to believe that maybe the either or should side on the side of action. You don't walk along the road and see your brother or sister in need and just leave them. You act. And so it's a little surprising, maybe even jarring to Martha to invite Jesus into her home, begin to act as host, a work of action on behalf of somebody who has just finished a debate with some legal scholars. And then to be challenged in her posture, which says, actually, Martha, Mary has chosen the greater thing. There is sitting and nurturing faith, and there is acting and engaging in work. And we're asking, she's asking the question, she's begging the question, is it better to attend to the tasks or is it better to reflect and focus on listening? And that's the way we typically think about it. Life is a dichotomy. There's either, there's or, there's competitive, it's zero sum. And I think in the invitation of our sanctified art commentary this morning begs the question, not only is it, but maybe we're not actually reading this right. Maybe we're reading it through a competitive lens and it shouldn't be read that way at all. While Jesus would implore us to act on behalf of the Good Samaritan, only to come back and say, no, actually, you need to sit and wait. We know that we need to take care of our neighbors, but then we also need to sit and attend to Jesus. And so actually, this question and this story demands a reframe from us. We're asking the wrong thing of the passage. We're asking for an either or when actually what this passage invites us to is both at the right time. You see, CrossFit invites people in to exercise and work out together, and they do the work, but then the relationship gets nurtured. Casper Turculli says, folks come for the workout and stay for the relationships. And so when we reframe Jesus and Mary and Martha in the terms of it not being competitive, what we find is maybe Jesus is evoking Ecclesiastes 3, or for you music lovers, the birds, when he says maybe it's just about the timing. Maybe it's about when we do what we do, not whether we do only one or only the other. And in the moment, Jesus, sensing what the time demanded, said Mary had chosen the right thing. Now is the time to sit and to listen and to wait and not worry about the work. Now is the time to focus on being a disciple, not just the time to focus on do, act, work, and engage. And I think that's what the commentary gets right for us. It asks us not whether we're an active worker or whether we're a reflective disciple, but it asks of us for right now, what is the posture you need to take? What is the posture we need to take? The invitation is not, should we act or pray? It is not, am I a Mary or a Martha? It's, what does the moment call for? What do I need to do in this time? Now, is now a time to engage in work? Or is now a time to pause for reflection and cultivate a deepening faith? Both are necessary. We don't leave the Samaritan on the side of the road, but we also don't ignore sitting at Jesus' feet. It's the wise disciple that begins to be able to discern the difference and begin to discern what is right for such a time as this. I've given you the answer, the punchline, the takeaway from the sermon. The way of faith and discipleship is a way of balancing when we're called to works and when we're called to lean into faith, listening, into relationships. That's the task. And so I want to finish with two stories that I find hopeful that reflect the balance of that. The first comes from a book called Unreasonable Hospitality by the author Will Gadara. You may not have read his book. I actually listened to it on Audible several years ago. But you might have seen his TED Talk or seen him on a talk show in some point. And he often retells a story from 2010 when he was an operator and co-owner of what later became the best restaurant in the world, 11 Madison Park in New York City. He says that in 2010, he had overheard some tourists who were kind of food-obsessed foodies who had been all over New York eating, lamenting that here at 11 Madison Park, they were having their last meal, but they had yet to eat a good old New York City street vendor hot dog. And he says, if I were a cartoon, you would have seen the light bulb go off above my head. I had an idea. So he ran out to the closest street vendor, he grabbed a hot dog, and then he just begged one of his chefs, will you fix this in such a way that we can create a memorable experience for these tourists, these vacationers, so that they could have the one last thing before they head back home. He gets the 4-star Michelin chef to serve, to plate this hot dog in such a way as to evoke an experience. And he says, no one had ever reacted to anything I had served them in quite that way. Each person eventually said, not only was this hot dog unexpected, but it was the highlight of their entire trip to New York. It was a story they'd be telling for the rest of their lives. I think because it's a story where the work of being attentive to people meets the discipleship of being attentive to people as well. And in fact, in this case, there was a bit of a division of labor. Someone listened. Someone was sitting carefully, paying attention. Someone else had the skill set to serve it beautifully. Someone else, Will, was able to run out and acquire what was needed and all work together in the right time to create a meaningful experience. And what he says is, I realized I wasn't in the business of serving people dinner. I was in the business of serving them memories. And what I would suggest is that the business of serving memories is not that much different than the business of being a disciple. It's balancing faith and works. It's discerning when to act and when to listen. And sometimes we have to let others act on our behalf, but at all times, we need both. The work was not, does Will listen or does Will act? The work was, how do we bring it all together? How do we bring our listening and our acting together in such ways that it shapes us to be the people who God has created us to be? I'll close with a bit of a personal story, one that actually leans into relationships, but relationships that are built through shared work. My mom passed away right around Christmas in 2019, and that left my dad alone for a couple of years in his early 70s. He has a cabin, a remote cabin on the shores of Lake Superior, way up in Upper Michigan, and there's a few neighbors who are there, but they're pretty well spread apart. My dad has since met a woman and married Terry, and they're great together. But last summer, we were up there with him, and his closest neighbor and his closest friend up there, Patrick, Pat, we call him. Pat and his family came over to take sauna, which I assure you sounds wrong to you, but it's exactly what the Finnish folks up there say. In Michigan. The family comes over on Saturday night. They, you know, do this sauna thing at my dad's sauna. And then as everyone's leaving, Pat comes to say hello to me because Dad and Terry were gone for the evening. And we talked for a little bit about what had been going on the week. And as he was about to walk away, reflecting on how much Pat had helped my dad as a friend and as a companion and as a work buddy on trees and roads and cabins and all manner of things in the previous 4 years since Mom had passed, I said to him, thanks for doing all that you've done to take care of Dad across these recent years. And without a second in the conversation, he turns it around and says, oh no, I think it's the other way around. He's the one who's been taking care of me. Pat is not a verbose or emotional man. He would call himself a stoic German. He does, in fact, when you let him. But what I saw there was the result of two men who had worked together and who had navigated sitting together. Two men who had cultivated roads and pruned trees and cared for cabins, and who had also cared for one another in the act of sort of co-discipleship in a way. They built a rooted relationship that helped them have roots that were joined together so that when the storms of life came, and more will come, they were able to stand. They've held their faith and their works together rather than letting it be an either or. And what we see is through patience and discernment, relationships can grow deeper than we've ever imagined they could be. And I think the invitation from Jesus for us today is to ask that question. How do we attend to knowing the difference between when is it a time to sit and when is it a time to work? In the life of the church, we need both. We need action and contemplation. And ultimately, we need to know when the right time is to do what it is we're called to do. And for you and me as individual disciples, I pray that we will have the patience and the discernment to know when to listen and when to act. In every way, this is not a sermon to you. It was a sermon for me this week, and a sermon for all of us to ask that question. But also for you as Greystone Baptist Church, in such a time as this, a time with unexpected seasons coming. I trust and pray that you will grow by deepening in relationships that can sustain you, by discerning when do we act and when do we sit and listen. That's the invitation this morning. It's not an either or, it's a both and. May we pray that God gives us the wisdom for what to do when. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day that we have. We give you thanks for this church and for the relationships that are nurtured here, and for all the ways that you have helped us to learn to be disciples through the ministry, both contemplative and active, both works and discernment, both reaction and reflection. We thank you for all the ways that you have shaped us through our shared life together. And our prayer today is that you would help us in the days to come to know the difference. Grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the living of these days. Grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the discernment of your ways. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose feet we sit at and whose call to act we heed. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 667, Lord, Speak to Me. And as you respond, if you have a response you'd like to make, April will be here at the front. I'll be here as well. And I hope that whether you respond in such a way that demands you move out of your pew, I trust that because the Word of God has been sung and prayed and we've offered ourselves and it's been proclaimed, that there is some response that the Lord is leading you to today. So discern what that is and commit to it as we share together the hymn of response, Lord, Speak to Me.